for one of those youngsters, the outing had proved too exhausting, though it had barely begun. For while the others had hurried off laughing and shouting in search of mummies and Malaysian blowguns, this one, a scrawny Italian immigrant boy named Angelo Siciliano, slumped on a stone bench in the main hall and waited, as he did most days, for this particular day to end. His near 16 years had seemed centuries of physical fatigue and social torment. Brought to America by his mother when he was 10, Angelo's new home happened to be one of the toughest sections of Brooklyn. He was weak and thin, pale, promptly picked on by pint-sized brawlers. Only recently he had been beaten senseless by a neighborhood bully who was wielding a mere sack full of ashes. On good days, he could barely climb the steps to his Front Street apartment, though his family lived on the ground floor. And so, trying not to reflect on the seemingly endless travail which was his young life, Angelo Siciliano sighed and stared at the museum floor and then across the main hall to a statue, a giant white marble sculpture of a man. Transfixed, the boy rose and solemnly approached it. There for a timeless time, he stood and gazed in utter wonder. Now, Angelo's parents had separated when he was small, so except for the unimpressive uncle, there were no men in the immediate family, no father figure to look up to until right now, until this moment. For as delicate little Angelo stared up at the spectacular effigy of the mythical Hercules, he somehow siphoned his strength, believing in his heart that someday he would become what he saw. That very evening, the boy tied two rocks to a broom handle, and with that makeshift barbell, he began the tedious process. Because he could not afford real athletic equipment, he eventually devised a method of making one muscle group struggle against another in order to build both isometrics, we call it today. The invention of Angelo Siciliano. Once upon a summer afternoon in 1909, a sickly, spindly teenager from Front Street, Brooklyn, encountered a demigod frozen in marble, a figure which inspired that boy to achieve its likeness. And Angelo would one day awaken the entire world to the virtues of physical culture. He would himself appear a mighty, muscled 25 at 75, although you recall that human titan by the title which he chose for himself, Charles Atlas. The annals of Greek and Roman mythology recount the impossible challenges, the 12 labors of the great Hercules. But there was one last labor, a quiet reclamation in a statuary hall in Brooklyn, one which the poets neglected to relate. Only now you know the rest of the story.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. This hour's guests, Atascadero Police Corporal Scott Pippen and Dave Belmont, board members of the somewhat newly formed Atascadero Police Foundation. We're going to get a, but before we talk about that with Scott and Dave, I want to talk about the view of Central Coast crime and homelessness from a police officer's perspective, the role and mission of the newly formed Charitable Atascadero Foundation, and then Dave is going to take a few minutes. He's going to be speaking for at a CoLab meeting tomorrow on this, but he's going to give us a preview of a little bit about what might be going on in the California homeowners insurance markets as we head into 2025. So Scott and Dave, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thanks, Barry. Thank you, Barry.
I'm glad you're here. And just a reminder, of course, Adler Belmont Group is our show sponsor, so thank you for that, Dave. Everybody knows Dave, so he's sitting there quietly listening to this whole thing for the time being. But I do want to introduce Scott. Scott's apparently been on KPRL before, but you've been a police officer for quite some time. You must have started when you were 12 years old or something.
Yeah.
Yeah? Tell us a little bit about your career.
I started when I was 23. I started with the Grover Beach Police Department back in 1998. and I started with the Tascadero in 2003. So I've been there ever since. I've held several positions in there. I was the first motorcycle officer for both Grover Beach Police Department and Tascadero. In fact, I started the program in Tascadero through a grant. I've also been a detective in three different times and worked many different cases there. And so I've held a lot of different positions.
What was your favorite?
Motor officer is pretty fun, and you look cool and look good and get out there and cruise around, and you get to interact with a lot of other agencies because, you know, special events when they have parades or different details, you get to really build your relationships and partnerships with other agencies. So that was a good like icebreaker into working outside your agency.
Right. So one of the things that came up, and I'm not going to drag you into politics here, but one of the things that came up at the presidential election was Trump was fact-checked on the fact when he said, you know, crime is up everywhere. And, of course, he was fact-checked by the NBC guy saying, oh, no, the FBI said it wasn't. And they got into it. Well, not surprisingly, the FBI, this came out last week, actually, from the Real Clear Investigations, Real Clear Politics website, that the FBI quietly revises the violent crime rates up. So, I mean, how has crime changed in the Central Coast since you started? And are you seeing an uptick on certain types of crimes, and in particular, where?
I think there's some upticks. I think we're pretty much in a really nice bubble here. We don't get quite the crime rates. I mean, crime happens equally kind of throughout the United States. It's based on population, right? If we had more population, certain people are doing bad things, you get higher crime rates. So I think we do have those types of violent crimes throughout our communities, but they're a lot lower here because we have less population and, different mindsets. So I think we're kind of lucky in that sense. I don't necessarily would say that we're seeing a violent spike in our criminal activity or crimes in our area. I think that the spike that we're seeing is more like the organized retail crime, where we're here in the Central Coast, we're a lot more trusting. Not everything's locked up. You can get to your toothpaste and your hair products and makeup and stuff like that without having to go through a lot of locks and security measures and stuff like you have to do in the Bay Area or Los Angeles or over in the Valley. And so the criminals recognize that. And so they come down here. They come down from the Bay Area up from the Los Angeles or across from the Valley, and they victimize us because we're not necessarily looking for, we're not a suspicious group as those areas are, because we don't see as much prevalent crime on a regular basis. So I would say the organized retail crime coming down, stealing the alcohol and all those things, and then sending them back into the supply chain is really big.
What, when these unreported crime, well, you know, the little stuff that's protected by Prop 47 for the moment, I'm going to ask you about that, in a minute, but when somebody steals less than $950, I guess is that reported as crime?
It used to be a lot more. Part of it is and it isn't. It depends on the companies, and a lot of the companies out there are kind of taking the loss because they've had a lot of issues with loss prevention, like somebody trying to put their hands on somebody, and either the loss prevention people getting injured or killed in some cases, or, injuring the suspect and then having that lawsuit come back on the companies. So a lot of these companies have kind of taken a little more of a hands-off approach, and it's like some of them will report, a lot of them are reporting within their organization, because a lot of these organizations like Home Depot, Lowe's, CVS, Rite Aid, a lot of they have their own investigators that will investigate this type of stuff, and they'll pull cases together from video footage and interviews, and they'll track these guys. Not just in one region, but they'll track them across the whole United States. And so there's a really big group that you don't see of civilian law enforcement that are working those cases. So a lot of that doesn't get reported to the local agencies because they're not sure how, they want to control some of that, and then they don't want to burden law enforcement at the same time. So there's these different policies in place.
Well, so I suspect that not only is crime up, it would be even up even more if these crimes were a lot of these crimes were being reported.
Yes.
Yeah. So really. So just because the statistics are there, but we're not getting the real picture on what the crime situation looks like, especially in places like LA or San Francisco.
I would say that's correct.
What is the connection, the nexus, as it were, between homelessness and crime?
The nexus, most of the people that are experiencing homelessness are usually suffering from one of three things. It's drugs, alcohol, or mental health. That's not always the case, right? Some people fall upon bad luck and be released from a job or some life changes there. But the ones that we're dealing with in law enforcement generally have drug, alcohol, or mental health issues. And so those are some of the things we have to try to tackle to deal with the homeless problem.
So how has that changed policing over your career? I mean, how has that changed your life?
Well, I think that we, in our area, we've got more homeless. It's just some people kind of like, it's a little more popular to be homeless. Like, it's a carefree lifestyle, to kind of live on the streets and have your buddies and stuff. Cause people are provided resources and sometimes they just don't want to take those resources. And so you can't force some people to do that. Now we do have, we've put a lot of effort into, trying to provide resources to the homeless by adding officers and different different positions within our department, which I think we're going to talk about here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So, let's talk a little bit about, because you were obviously an officer before Prop 47 went into play.
Yes.
And then after. So what was the other than the shoplifting and the crime? I mean, how has that changed the crime picture?
Well, prior to Prop 47, if you had possession of methamphetamine or heroin, fentanyl wasn't very prevalent prior to Prop 47, that it would be a felony and you would go to jail for that. If you had marijuana, if you had over an ounce, then that was a felony and you could go to jail for that. If you were doing petty theft and you had prior convictions, there was provisions in there that could be treated as a felony. So when Prop 47 passed, all of those hard drugs went to misdemeanors. The shoplifting section came out, and there was no real provisions for prior convictions on that. So we're seeing people that will have, we'll contact them on the street, and they'll have 15, 20 warrants for their arrest, and they'll be for various violations, most of which are drug or petty theft situations. So they're all being treated as one, like misdemeanor. And they're not getting jail time. They're not really being forced into programs. And they really don't care. Like, you get a citation because the county jail won't even take them based on the low level.
Right. Because it's a misdemeanor.
Yes. They'll take some misdemeanors, but generally on these reoccurring ones, it's not a bookable offense, really.
Right. And I think one of the things that, I mean, I've had John Pichong in here a number of times. And, one of the things he said, was that, at least when we threw people in jail, we could clean them up a little bit. But they're not getting thrown in jail anymore.
No, they're released pretty quickly. Again, based on the laws and what the sentencing and what the courts are allowed to do.
So, have you taken a look to see how Prop 36, if it passes, apparently it's leading way big time in the polls. How's that going to impact?
I think it's going to impact on the two main types of crimes that we're dealing with in general and in the homelessness side of things. And I think because of these changes, will help drive them to get some of the help that they need. And what that does is it is bringing back some of those prior convictions. So if you've had two thefts or two shoplifting convictions, and then the third one could be a felony. If you've had prior drug possession convictions, then it can be treated as a felony. And they have it, the way my understanding, I'm not a legislator, but the way my understanding of this is that if you go follow the program, like on the drug side of the stuff, and you're successful in that program, then they will basically expunge that conviction and suspend your jail time. So it's kind of like the original drug court type scenario, but maybe a little more teeth to it to try to get people to voluntarily cooperate.
I was reading an article in Cal Matters about this, and apparently they're concerned with one of the concerns with Prop 36 is they don't have enough mental health professionals to treat these people. They don't have it's going to require these services be provided, but there aren't, they can't provide them because they don't have enough people. Have you heard anything about that?
I'm not sure about that. I know in the Atascadero Police Department, we a few years back started what's called the Community Action Team or CAT team. Mm-hmm. And that team is two sworn officers are dedicated to that. And they assigned to them have a mental health worker. And they also have a social worker that works with county services. And what they're able to do is as a team go out to the homeless camps or to deal with the call for service. Because we get a lot of our calls for service are loitering, trespassing, just vagrancy that's going on. Yeah. And so these officers are primarily getting dispatched to that. And it's not just them showing up as law enforcement, that they have a team with them that can address the mental health side of things and the social services side of things.
One last question on the homelessness. The Supreme Court threw out, they overturned the outdoor camping, the Boise case?
Yes, and there was a Johnson versus Grants Pass.
Right. So have you guys adjusted, now that that's out the window, have you adjusted what you're doing?
We're still working on the revisions to our camping ordinance.
Camping, I like that. Yeah.
I think what it did was provided clarity to the cities that basically says that camping can be illegal, but you need to be able to provide some resources. It's not just carte blanche. It's kind of time, place, and manner. So are you setting up right in front of a business or restricting the flow of people? So it takes those into account when you're doing the enforcement side of stuff. And it's also providing those services. So if you're providing services for shelter, for food, for medication or counseling, if you have mental health issues, and the people are refusing to take those services, then it allows us to take the enforcement action. And that's how our community action team works. It's basically, hey, we're going to give you the carrot. Like, here, we have this resource to help you get housing. We have this resource to help you get, medications for your psychological issues or a program to get you off drugs and alcohol. And if they repeatedly refuse to do that, then it's like, okay, now you have warrants for your arrest. You're in possession of paraphernalia, whatever it might be, and now we're going to take you to jail.
Okay. Let's move to a different something you wanted to talk about here. It was elder scams and crime. You're dealing with a lot more of that these days. What are you seeing, and what are your suggestions?
Well, that's a huge spike. I actually went last month to the International Financial Crimes Association conference, and it was kind of eye opening. I mean, obviously we deal with a lot of elder scams out there. A lot of the elders, and not just elders, I've seen young adults that have fallen for these scams because they're working off three things. Three things drive most human beings. It's like lust. I'm in a relationship. I want a date or whatever. It's greed. Hey, I want a bunch of money. Or it's fear. Like if you don't, and I know I just heard on Pass Robles PD just put out a press release today. I heard on the radio about, hey, if you don't pay us X amount of money, then we're going to come arrest you because you didn't show up for jury duty. So I think the biggest thing there is that is getting the message out there and getting people aware these scams are out there so that way they can hang up that phone or they can not respond to that text or not respond to that email. For my experience, if I get somebody calling me and I immediately just hang up the phone, like whether they're trying to sell me a vacation package or whatever it is, I hang that phone up right away, I have no problems. But all of a sudden they start talking for 15, 30 seconds, you kind of have that connection all of a sudden. It gets a little harder to get off that phone, right? And that's what's happening here is you have all these international players, actors that there's so much money being invested in that. And they're working on psychology of how to keep these people on the hook. Mm-hmm. And they're basically fleecing all this baby boomers for the most part. And they're talking about this is like the largest redistribution of wealth that this world's ever seen. Mm-hmm. And the numbers aren't real clear. AARP is talking like $30 billion per year. There's some numbers like 1.7 trillions left our country. Mm. Like, so the numbers aren't clear because most people don't report this, like everything, a lot of other crimes, because they're embarrassed. They want to tell their family that they just gave away $250,000 or $1 million, sold off assets and stuff like that.
So what's your suggestion to elders who are listening?
If you get somebody threatening you or making claims that you want something, if you get off the phone. But if you feel inclined, take their phone number down, call a family member, call a friend, and just have them do a reality check for you. And I think it's important that if you have elderly parents or friends, you talk about this and make it, you know, make it a family conversation with everybody and friends. And again, if it's in your head all the time, because people will literally see, like, I think this is a scam, but yet they'll continue to do it because they're on the hook.
Right, right.
So, and I think it's getting that out and having that mindset before you get hooked, because, you know, the banks are in place now and saying, hey, you want to wire transfer this money. And they have protocols, and these banks, the tellers are asking these questions, and these people are adamant because they know where this money's going to, and they trust where this is going. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, unfortunately there's a lot of loss there, a lot of financial loss, you know?
Yeah. All right. Question before the break, and then we'll turn to the association. How do police officers like yourself and your colleagues cope with the day-to-day stressors of law enforcement?
It's a good question. I think everybody does it a little bit differently. You know, there's a lot of pressures outside, a lot of pressures inside the department, you know, like any business. For me, I've pretty much just taken it. This is a job. This is a career. It's my job to go catch people doing something wrong, and it's the criminals, you know, job to try to get away or to try to lie and stuff. So I don't necessarily take everything personal. If every person that told me to, you know, do certain bad things to myself or, you know, whatever, you know, I'd be in a really bad place. But I just, like, it's your job to try to get under my skin, and it's my job just to do my job. So I think that's generally how I try to do it, and that's what I tell newer officers coming on. Like, take this, you're acting. Like, you're doing your part, they're doing their part, and don't take it home with you. But I think it's important to, you know, to have activities outside of law enforcement. Again, I'm sure it's well known that, like, cops hang out with cops, and it's like, right. Do things outside of that cop circle and stuff like that. And I think that's important. And then having hobbies and stuff, like Dave and I play a lot of golf together and get out there and interact.
Yeah. Just try to lead, you kind of compartmentalize.
Yeah. And I think our department's, law enforcement in general has done a lot better over the last few years. Our department recently had started a peer support group. And so we have officers who are trained, and we got programs in place, and we have counselors on that are on call. And if we have critical incidents, they're there to, you know, have post debriefings.
Great. All right. Well, when we return, folks, we're going to turn our attention to the Atascadero Police Foundation that Scott is the president of and Dave is on the board. So stay tuned and we'll talk about their good works. Stand by.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Rigotti. Former President Donald Trump is appealing to Hispanic voters, participating today in a roundtable discussion with Latino leaders in Miami. Trump says legal immigration is the top issue, and he blames the Biden-Harris administration for the problem.
The biggest problem this country has is what they've allowed to happen to us on the border. They've allowed our country to be destroyed.
Harris blames Trump for opposing a bipartisan border bill that failed in the Senate. The vice president has taken a break today from the campaign trail, but Fox's Rich Edson reports it won't last long.
The vice president will sit down with interviews with NBC and Telemundo this afternoon, and then tomorrow she heads to Philadelphia for a town hall on CNN. Harris has a rally with former President Obama in Atlanta Thursday. This afternoon, Obama's with Governor Tim Walz in Wisconsin.
America's listening to Fox News.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company has known for over 50 years that you have a choice when it comes to garage door services. That's why they utilize only the finest garage door materials and equipment, and their fleet of fully equipped service vehicles are ready to serve your maintenance and repair needs quickly and efficiently. Hammond Overhead Door Company. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
How can a man be so intensely loved and hated at the same time? Vindicating Trump asks and answers this puzzling question. Join Slow County Republican Party this Thursday for movie night. Vindicating Trump starts at 6 p.m. at Republican headquarters in Atascadero with your host, District 5 Supervisor Debbie Arnold. Pizza, soda, and refreshments available with a $20 donation. Come early for a good seat. Don't miss this showing, paid for by the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Scott Pippen and Dave Belmont, board members of the Atascadero Police Foundation. Call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So let's turn our attention to the Atascadero Police Foundation. Would you give us a little history behind this? Because it's an offshoot of another organization, right?
Yeah, so the Atascadero Police Department has had the Atascadero Police Association. So the association is primarily a labor group. So we negotiate with the city. We retain attorneys for any kind of internal issues or any lawyers we might need because of complaints from the outside. Excuse me. So the APA has done a lot for fundraising and trying to get back to the community. And so we've done a lot over the last probably 15 years. We really got involved doing fundraising. That organization's been around probably 25 or 30 years, basically, mm-hmm. since.
And you're a past president of that, too, right?
Yes. That was about 6 years as a president of that.
Wow.
And so this is our 14th, about 16 years ago, we started doing a golf tournament to get funds. And that basically gave us the base in order to have money to start giving back. Because generally, we were mostly a labor union at that point.
Right. And then you decided that the Atascadero Police Foundation is now a nonprofit. It's a 501c3.
Yes. So we wanted to get the 501c3 designation for the APA, but then we were kind of thinking about like, hey, how do we expand upon what we're doing? We've done a lot of good things over the years, but we want to do more. And so myself and a couple other people from the APA board said, hey, what if we kind of bifurcate off and create a foundation and we don't just have police dispatchers and records people and officers, and we open it up and pull community members in there because we can extend our reach and our message and get the talent pool, a little bit larger.
Right. So what's the mission?
So our mission is to foster positive relationships between law enforcement and our community and provide support, resources, and opportunities for collaboration, education, and basically just to continue to work with the community and build those relationships and also be able to provide resources to law enforcement if they need, if the APA or the APD needs additional funds for certain things, to try to raise those funds to provide those financial pieces that they're looking for.
And you have some specific values listed on your website. What are you really aiming to do?
Primarily we spend a lot of our focus on youth development. So we're very involved in a lot of youth activities, youth sports. We sponsor wall to wall here in Paso Robles. We've bought the scoreboards for the baseball field down in Atascadero. We do scholarships. So we this last year we started the Luca Benedetti scholarship. Luca was killed in 2021. He was a Atascadero police officer and he went to work for San Luis. And while he was serving a search warrant down there, he was shot and killed during line of duty. So this last year, we started the Luca Benedetti Scholarship. We gave away two $2,000 scholarships, and we want to continue to expand that program and other scholarship programs as well.
Okay, great, great. And who's on your board of directors?
So I'm the president, and then TH is Tracy Hearn, is a retired Sunnyvale police officer. He moved down to our area here. He's one of our neighbors. Dave and I live in the same community. And so TH was very instrumental in getting the foundation up and running in Sunnyvale. So he was a great asset to say, hey, this is what I want to do. How do we make this work? And so he's very regimented and detail oriented. So it's good to have him there. And then Kate Grogan is one of our record supervisor, and Kate and I were one of the two main people to get the foundation off the ground. And Kate's just amazing at, organization and keeping me on track and stuff like that. So she serves as our secretary and our chief, Chief Suttles was, as we're building this foundation, he's like, you really need somebody that can keep track of the money and stuff. And so Alex Potts, She's an accountant out of Los Gatos, but she recently moved down here, and she has a practice here in the North County as well. So I met her in a coffee shop, and I'm like, hey, would you like to be involved in this? And she had prior foundation experience too, so she's doing a great job running the treasurer side of things. Dave, I know, again, Dave is a neighbor and friend, and so I know Dave has got, he's a very generous individual, and he's got great networking. He's been in the community for a long time. So he was a prime person. I wanted to get Dave in here to increase our reach, So, and then we got a lot of other community members that have been supportive for a long time. Like Ryan Amborn owns West Coast Towing. He sits on our scholarship committee. He's been very supportive since the day one on our golf tournament years ago. He's been a title sponsor. We got Mitch Stafford from Cal Coast Construction helping us out with our golf tournament. Proto Mike has been a supporter from the get-go. We've had other great sponsors like Austin Hope. Met Austin Hope at a tournament a few years back, and we connected with him, and he's been a really, really good sponsor for our association and foundation over the years. San Luis Ambulance, yes. Justin Kelton has been, again, a really good sponsor for us and a supporter.
Yeah, Dave, why did you get involved with on the board?
I played in the tournament a couple of years, and last year when they gave out the scholarships for Lucas Benedetti, I was just blown away. And one of the scholarships went to a young lady whose career was going to be in law enforcement. And I thought, we need more of this. We need more young people going into law enforcement. So Scott approached me about that time to get involved. And I said, yeah, I can do this.
Scott, you mentioned something earlier on in this conversation, but how do you feel the Tascadero Police and the community, I mean, how are the relations? Do you have any issues? I mean, are things that jump out at you? I mean, you wanted it to be kind of like, to make a better community. So, I mean, what's your sense of the word I'm looking for is basically the relationship between the Tascadero community and the police?
I think there's a great partnership between our police department and the community. This community is very supportive. I think our department's very, recognizes that we can't do our jobs. We can't be successful if we don't have the support of the community. So you have to start with the up top, right? The city management, the police department management has to have those ideals in place, that's where the transparency comes from and the trust. And I think that, again, we live in that kind of little bubble. So during the riots and stuff a few years back, I was down in San Luis for those. And that was a very different environment than when they came up here and tried to do the same thing in the Tascadero. And it was very clear, this is how we're going to treat you with respect, but these are the rules, and we're going to maintain order here. And, the community, and at that time, almost every single day, I think wherever I'm at, somebody's coming up and thanking me for my service. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think that's special for us. And I know that happens throughout the whole country, but I think here it makes you feel good that we do have the support of the community.
So really, I read an article or an essay on how when police officers stopped walking the beat, that the relationship between the people and the police changed dramatically. So what do you guys do? I'm getting off topic here, but we're going to get back on it in a second. But what do you guys do to get out and be with the community when you're working?
Yeah, I think the role of a police officer has changed quite a bit. When I first started, it was pretty much shunned upon to spend much time and go getting coffee or something like that because, you're wasting time or whatever. But the reality is that's where the networking is coming from. That's where that those relationships. I built so many relationships and partnerships, both on a professional and personal level, by interacting with, restaurants and coffee shops and out in the park and just getting out of your patrol car. And I think it got to the point to where we were talking about community-oriented policing, but it was still kind of us versus them 20 years ago. And now you're seeing some of those programs like National Night Out, which we had last month, where, the cops are out there and getting other businesses and stuff and inviting people to come out and have those interactions. You have the Coffee with the Cops organization or the program to get people to come out. And those work. I don't know if they're as organic as just talking to your, the people out in the community and having those relationships. But it does kind of promote at least that icebreaker to get people to talk.
Yeah, cool. All right. So you've got some specific programs here that, and projects that you're working on as an association. Let's go through them and unpack them. Pink Patch Project. What's that all about?
Like you can see my patches on right now, or ultra bright pink. So that's
right. I was wondering about that.
Yeah. So for October, we were allowed to have the pink patches on, and basically supporting for cancer awareness, breast cancer awareness. And one of our officers, Corporal Hall, is actually in investigations now. He brought the program forward several years ago. And so we had a different iteration of the patch, and we ran out of those. So this year, this is the new patch that we're going forward with. And so we're selling the patches. They're $10 a piece. And we also have some of the pins you can wear on your lapel, and they're $10 each as well. And you can buy them from the police department or on our website, the Atascadero Police Foundation.org, and we'll even send them to you for a small fee. But the proceeds go back to the Jacqueline Palchik Cancer Fund. So that's who we're supporting this year.
Okay, great. Okay. And then, and you've mentioned the Luca Benedetti Memorial Scholarship. Tell us a little bit about who's benefiting from that.
Last year we had, again, two local Atascadero students, one of which was the son of one of our former officers, Fred Flum. He actually works for the district attorney's office as a DA investigator. So it was kind of cool to see the full circle to go back and support his son as he goes to college, and he's got an interest in public safety, and that's where, you know, that's where the Luca one is designated to go to, is somebody that wants to go to public safety, public.
Okay, great. And then you one of the programs, and I want you to spend some time with this, when you're celebrating milestones with Echo, you're doing some stuff with Echo for kids. Tell the audience a little bit about that. I think that's a neat program.
Yeah, we wanted to, Echo is, we have a location within Atascadero. And we think that shelter is doing a lot of good for a lot of families out there. And we realize that there's a lot of kids that are staying there on a regular basis. So we wanted to do something special and, again, build that bridge, because sometimes the law enforcement interaction they might have isn't going to be super positive. So we want to be able to put the officers in a better light and to see them as human beings and see them friendly and see them doing something good for the kids, right? Versus the kids just seeing the interaction maybe with their parents or just, you know, whatever the case may be when people are kind of going through some of these issues. So we went and talked to Echo, and, a lot of stuff comes out during the holidays. A lot of people are very generous during the holidays, and a lot of gifts come out, and there's lots of programs for that. But as we started to talk, we determined that there wasn't anything going on for the birthdays. So we came up with a plan, and so basically what we started as of January, it's our first year doing it, we get the names, ages, and interests of each of the kids that have birthdays during the month, and we go out, buy gifts for them, make cards for them, and then we present those by uniformed officers. And then every other month, we have a birthday party. And so everybody that's celebrating the birthday that day gets special recognition, and all the kids that are in the homeless shelter, they get to partake in the cake. And this time we actually had a cookie decorating person came out, and it was really good because the kids really enjoyed it. In fact, the cops were really enjoying it, making cookies along with the kids. So it was really good to see. We brought the canine out. We have the cop cars. And we give goodie bags to all the kids. They all feel it's like a regular big birthday party, you know. And I think it's also good for, I have three young children, so I like to bring my oldest out there and interact, because a lot of times, you know, it's good for the community mindset in her head of what reality is, you know, that not everybody gets everything that she might get. And so it kind of brings it back to earth and gives them respect for what's going on in the world. But yeah, the program's been very, very successful. And I think, again, I mean, we have kids now that know the birthday's coming and they're excited about it. You used to be a lot of apprehension. The kids look at the cops and the cops look at the kids, and, you know, yeah. And then now they're running the patrol cars, they're putting the vests on, you know, they're playing with the shield and stuff like that, and playing with the sirens and lights. So it was really good. This last Saturday we had one. KSBY was out there, did a little piece on it. It was good. Yeah. But it's really heartwarming to see the whole thing come together, and I'm excited about where it's going.
So which months do you hold those? You said every 2 months?
Yeah, every 2 months, because, you know, every month is a lot to try to coordinate all this stuff. So we try to do it every 2 months. We don't have anything set months. Mm-hmm. We kind of keep it in coordination with Echo, so we're constantly emailing with them And hey, if we don't have any birthdays during that month, then okay, we can kind of push it around. So I think our next one will be in January just because of the holidays. So we don't want to like do one in December while all the Christmas stuff's going on. So
yeah, well, cool. And it looks like you also participate in the Honor Flights program.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you know what the Honor Flight is, you know, flying the veterans back to DC to see the different memorials and stuff like that and have presentations and you know, honor them for their services. When I first started, there wasn't a whole lot of veterans in law enforcement, which seems kind of odd, but there wasn't a lot. However, now we have a lot of service members in our organization, a lot of good officers that came from the various branches. So, now that we have so many veterans in our ranks, it's really good to be able to find one that has interest or those that have interest and send them with the veterans. So, we support that by sending our officers with them, and it's good for them too. You know, they get to interact with the ones that came before them. So.
Yeah, that's neat. And then finally, you do your annual golf tournament.
Yes.
And you did that, I think it was back in March? Was it
April.
One? April, okay. And tell us a little bit about that. Where is that?
So it's at Hunter Ranch Golf Course. It's going to be April 26th in 2025. So we're planning ahead because we want to make this one even better now that we have the foundation behind us and great members like Dave here that are going to brainstorm and network for us. So yeah, it's coming up at Hunter Ranch. It's a great, great event. I mean, I think everybody, you know, raves about it. It's a four-person scramble. We get a lot of good sponsors. We have a lot of silent auction opportunities out there. We're going to try to do something a little different with that and kind of try to make some more experiences this year versus just like individual products, raffles, and just a lot of good food and beverage out on the course as well.
Yeah, great. And again, the website address is atascaderopolicefoundation.org.
.org.
Yes. Okay, great. So, folks, it's really a great programs. You really should visit their website. So what are your future plans? What's coming up next?
Our future plans, we'd like to do another type of fundraiser, and we're still kind of kicking around that. We like to maybe do like a awards gala to kind of recognize community members and law enforcement and first responders. So we're maybe doing some ideas about next fall, having something like that for those people that don't get involved in golf. But as far as like where we want to spend some of our effort at is, again, back to youth activities and youth sports. I know flag football is huge. My kids love it. It's pretty costly though. So we are, been talking to the rec department at Atascadero, and we want to bring Atascadero flag football, in combination with the rec department next summer. And, so our goal there is to bring the cost down so it's super affordable for most families. And we will set up scholarships for kids that can't afford to come out there and play, you know, to make it free for them. Because I think that those are the kids that really need to get that camaraderie, get the discipline to play the sport and to have that fun and be able to have those opportunities. So that's our next big tackling thing we want to deal with is flag football. And so hopefully by summer we'll have that. And then, you know, there's some, maybe some talk, we could do some competition with the finals with Templeton or something. Cause I know Templeton flag football is so big, you know, my kids are involved in that. It's almost too big. They had so many teams this year and not enough coaches. So,
well, that's great. That's great. Anything else that you're thinking of, or are you just kind of coming up on the next strategic planning meeting, you'll come up with some ideas?
Yeah. You know, we've been basically getting through all of the dry bylaw stuff and all the rules and regulations. And now we're starting to get to the fun side of stuff.
All right.
So, but Dave, you got
any ideas, Dave?
No, I'm just kind of learning as we go and helping where I can.
Great.
I'm looking forward to doing more.
And you are always looking for community partners and volunteers. So tell us what kind of opportunities there are there.
I would say anybody that's got some resource for us or wants to be involved in the organization, contact us. I think our biggest hole right now is social media. We have somebody that's helping us out on marketing side of stuff. We obviously have the treasurer down, and we have people that are very organized, far more organized than I am. But we definitely need somebody that's got expertise in social media. And we have officers that want to be able to post stuff and work, because we want to be able to produce material that we can post to keep people's interest and get the likes and stuff. I am not a social media person at all, but anybody's got a lot of experience in that, reach out to us.
Well, you might want to check to see if you can get a Cuesta College intern or something for that.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that.
That would be good. All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to get a couple more licks in for the Atascadero Police Foundation, and then I'm going to turn it over to Dave to tell us what might be happening on the homeowners insurance market. So please stand by. We'll be back.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Elizabeth MacDonald, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks rebounding from earlier session lows, but ending mixed as investors continue to digest mixed earnings reports. Tech and consumer staples gained today while industrials lagged, and shares of Dow member 3M fell 2%. The industrial conglomerate beat third quarter profit expectations and raised its full year outlook. However, the company said its consumer business continues to be hampered by cost conscious shoppers. Shares of Verizon tumbled 5% after the telecom giant posted an earnings beat but delivered lower than expected revenue. General Motors stock popped 10% after the big three automaker reported results that beat estimates and boosted its guidance for the third time this year. The Dow winners, Microsoft, Walmart, and Amgen. The Dow decliners, Verizon, Home Depot, and Salesforce. The Dow down 7 points, the Nasdaq up 33, S&P 500 lower by 3. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Wow, you look fantastic.
I love all the sparkle.
It's your fault. You introduced me to jewelry television. I can't stop watching.
Right. The prices are amazing.
I know. There are so many different styles and the color gemstone jewelry. Are you kidding me? Gorgeous.
And did you notice JTV also has gifts for men? I got Jake an Invicta watch that he loves.
New JTV customers receive $40 off their next purchase when they shop jtv.com/radio.
Who are you texting?
I'm not. I'm shopping jtv.com.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel,
238-3080. Hi, I'm Wesley Dawes with Stove and Spa Center, and it might be hot now, but winter is just around the corner. So Stove and Spa Center is having a huge 36th anniversary stove, insert, and fireplace sale. We are overstocked, so don't miss out on big savings on quality cast wood and gas stoves by Hearthstone. How would you like being warmer this next winter and save money too? It's possible with a gas or wood stove from Hearthstone. Hearthstone's highly efficient wood and gas stoves come in many styles to fit any home's decor. Save big on Hearthstone stoves and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's big sale. All the products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com. Save big on Hearthstone stoves during Stove and Spa Center's 36th anniversary sale going on right now. Don't miss out on all the special offers at Stove and Spa Center. 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero, between Curb Rail and Moore Roads.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Atascadero Police Corporal Scott Pippen and Dave Belmont, board members of the Atascadero Police Foundation. Call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775. 238-KPRL. And again, I just want to remind you that you ought to go to the Atascadero Police Foundation website. It's atascaderopolicefoundation.org. So great. And next week's show is going to feature my wingman, Eric Gorham. I'm taking the week off for some business travel, but he's going to be talking about the Get Out the Vote efforts in Slo County and other related topics. And then the following Tuesday is November 5th, Election Day, and PWM will be having its first election special featuring Darcia Stebbins, Eric Gorham, and me. And we're going to be talking about what's going on locally. I'm going to be hoping that you're going to be calling in from the field to let us know what you're finding at the polling stations, if you're seeing any problems out there, and just your thoughts and comments on where you think the election is going, and as we go into what 2020, the end of the year in 2025. So, Dave, you're going to be speaking to one of the speakers tomorrow at the CoLab event at, what is it?
At the Thousand Hills Ranch.
Thousand Hills Ranch. What time does that start?
I believe 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay. You can go to the CoLab website.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
CoLabSlow.org, yeah. I believe.
Free hors d'oeuvres, free drinks,
right.
Free wine. Scott's going to lend me
What's the address?
Yeah, I was going to say, Scott's going to lend me his bulletproof vest.
Well, you can always put the other guys on the panel in front of you.
They're nice guys too, yeah. Though.
So give us what are you hearing about the homeowners insurance problems that we're having here, and anything, any relief in sight?
And it's not just homeowners; it's auto, it's business auto, business properties. The Department of Insurance and the insurance companies are at least talking, which is good, because there for a while they weren't. There was posturing going on, and everybody was standing back and making demands. The department has said that they want to get companies back in the marketplace as fast as possible. So they're, I think, starting to acquiesce with some of their demands. And we're hoping that by this time next year, we will have several more carriers back in, and we'll have a little bit of competition. I don't think rates are going to go back down, but they'll dip a little bit. So, but the availability of insurance will get easier, and that's our biggest problem right now.
And what's going on with the FAIR plan at this point? Are you getting anything through it? I mean, I know they have to take the business, but they're pretty slow, aren't they?
They're very difficult to deal with, especially on the commercial side. They've got too much business, and it's scary right now. California, knock on wood, has not had too many fires, but if we do, that's going to create a huge problem not only for the FAIR plan, but also for the insurance companies that have to pay their fair percentage of what their exposure is in the FAIR plan, as well as the consumer. Because keep in mind, the Department of Insurance is allowing the carriers essentially to send the consumer a bill for part of that fee that they're going to have to pay. So we as consumers might be reimbursing some of those losses.
So do you anticipate, I mean, are you hearing anything after these, Hurricane Helene in North Carolina? I mean, is this going to be a huge hit on the reinsurers again, another hit on the reinsurers, correct?
It is, and it's way too early to figure out exactly what that's going to be, but Citizens Insurance Company, which is in Florida, and they're the biggest insurance company in Florida, I think they're probably going to be in big trouble.
Well, and then there were a whole bunch of pieces of legislation that were signed into law recently. Anything that would be pertinent and important to our listeners?
I didn't see anything really there. Some of the things that I saw that failed, I thought were kind of important. But I know those are being worked on the department side.
I'm going to make you work.
I know you're making me grab my notes.
It's always good when a law doesn't pass here.
It does. So like AB 2416 did not pass, and that bill would require the department to every 5 years to consider whether or not to update its regulations. That one failed because they're working on that now. They're going to make that permanent instead of doing that once every 5 years. There was one involving the California FAIR plan that did not pass, and it was an urgency measure that authorizes the California Infrastructure and Economic Development Bank, upon request of the FAIR Access to Insurance Requirements Plan, which is the FAIR plan, to issue bonds to finance for claims. And that would have been big because that's going to make all the taxpayers pay.
Right.
So that didn't pass as well.
Okay.
Those are a couple of them that I thought that's good for us.
Well, I know that Newsom's probably thinking he's running for president in 2028. So he's kind of putting some pressure on the Department of Insurance to clean up some of this mess. Which in many regards is a self-inflicted wound, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah. I believe that to be.
All right, so you're going to be at the Thousand Hills Ranch tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yep.
Folks, go to the CoLab website, get the information on that, colabflow.org. And folks, I'll see you back here in 2 weeks on Election Day. And gentlemen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Barry.
Barry, thank you for the time.
Have a great rest of the week.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.